Hi, I'm Ken. I'm an alcoholic. For a heart table. For a heart. Anybody got a four? Oh, good. You guys are... This is a... I tell you, this is an evening. This is the 7:30 meeting, by the way, so I wanted you to know that. There's a newcomer going. I thought when Mickey's watch had the little hand on the 7 and the big hand on the... You know. Good to be here. I'm glad I was here for all the trophies for the fishing and the bowling. I mean, in New York, we would have never thought to have that thing combined. You know, what a deal. You know, I mean, that's amazing, you know. I was sitting there and I was thinking, it must have been a big boat. You know, like you got alleys and I guess you throw a frame and fish a frame. I don't know, you know. It's a hell of an idea, you know. Sportsman of America, this is going to catch on. I can see it coming. This is going to be a good deal. I want to thank the committee for inviting me here, and I think I left my room a couple of days ago to get here. And this is an interesting thing. I mean, he said the lights up here are hot. That's the greatest understatement since Noah said, looks like rain, you know, like this is a, what a deal here. And the one-year guy and the 30-day people, congratulations, this is great. This is AA, where we're very punctual. We want you to be punctual. And, you know, we're highly organized, you know. I mean, this is a deal, you know. And all the Al-Anons that are here, yes, we know you're here. this is good. You know the Al-Anon countdown: 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Get the hell out of here. I'm really glad to be here. This is an interesting place for me because, you know, it's out in the middle of the desert. When I tell the guys in New York that I speak in places like this, they think that I had a slip, you know, like... So there's water and a desert? Yeah, oh, God love him. I thought he was... we thought he was getting much better than that, you know. And the deal is there's a bunch of guys here from Brooklyn, and we're glad you're here. And that means that there's a bail bondsman somewhere saying, we thought they'd be back for sure, you know, like, hey. And this is a real serious program, so I want you to relax. And we're going to give you the hard AA stuff. It's right here in this book. Called Alcoholics Anonymous. It's actually part of the program. You know, and you got to read too. Yeah. But you know, we were talking about Brooklyn. Now I know this dates me, but when I went to school, we wore knickers. Can you believe that? And you didn't get to wear long pants until you're in the eighth grade. And I went to a parochial school, so you know what my sex life is like. I once saw two dogs getting at it, and I said to the nun, "What are they doing?" And she said, "They're dancing." And I said, "They're not even facing each other." She said, and I don't know why, but ever since then, I've really been attracted to the Congo line. You know, like, I don't know why. I hear that music, I say, yes. Yes. I'm a-coming, wherever you are, you know. But this is a good thing to be here at Laughlin. And can you imagine the guy who started this? You know, they say he had a dream. I mean, it's more like a hangover, you know, like a... So what do you want to do, Don? I want to build a place in the desert. I'm going to have gambling. And then, if everything works out, AA. But I'm not rushing it, you know. I'm going to pace myself, you know. Well, this is a good deal. I mean, it's hard to look out at this crowd and really stay anything like on the money. You know, like you look here and you say, this is a group you certainly would not want to see in night court. You know, it's a... But I'm glad you're all here because you're definitely in the right place. And I was thinking of Bill and Bob, what they must be thinking right now. You know, like, Bill, we had the first one of these in Cleveland because we didn't want anybody to be exposed to harm. And now they have it where there's booze, broads, and gambling. What the hell are they thinking of? You know? We got sober. I got sober in New York. Where they used to say this is a twofold disease: whiskey glasses and women's asses. You know, like, you know, and, you know, you know. Take me home. Take me home. Take me home. You know. But. This is really great to be here. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love being sober, and I'm really appreciative of the folks who have gone before and have done the things that they did. Because, you know, when I came along, I don't know about you guys, but I was really ready for Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I hung out with guys that were just like me, you know, totally unscarred by education. And you know that. And today I think about that. I mean, I was 40 years old before I realized that Moby Dick was not a venereal disease. You know, like it was a. Yeah, it was. It was like. Yeah. So the bottom line was, you know, like unfortunately, I hung out with guys where that went totally unnoticed. You know, we used to say, "There's a dead bird," and they'd look up. You know, these were the kind of guys. You know, took a guy into a trophy shop and he said, "Wow, is this guy good?" You know. And those are the kind of guys, you know, like the hamster's dead, but the wheel is still turning. You know. And the deal is that you know, I got sober in New York, and it was a very interesting thing. And I have a sponsor tonight who's not doing too good, and he's been my sponsor for 32 years, and he's got cancer of the spine, and he's not in a really great place. But I called him the other day, and it's amazing how when you're sober, I'm not talking about going to meetings and not drinking. I mean when you're sober, how you just have planted your feet in the moment. And you're not worried about yesterday and you're not worried about tomorrow. You're just planted right here. And you can see humor in everything because you know that's going to be your lifeline. And I called him and I said, "How's it going?" Because he's been through a couple of months of radiation and chemo and stuff. And he said, "Ken, it's really tough." I said, "Why?" He said, "I was in the hospital," he said, "with these professional people." He said, "They didn't love me. They didn't love me at all. But every time I rang the buzzer, they would get me a cup of coffee. They'd wash me. They'd clean me. They'd take care of my every need. And they had my bed spotless all the time." And he said, "I'm so glad to be away from that. And I'm home with people who love me. And I can't get a cup of coffee. You know, like, and nobody changes my bed, but they really love me." You know, and I said, "Yeah, you know, that's the way it is. You see things the way they really are." And, you know, he's doing stuff now that's not going to come easy to him. And at the same time, he's doing it right in the moment. And that's the real deal here. I mean, when I first got here and I read this literature, you know, I didn't understand a lot of it. And I realized where AA is today. I mean, we've become so uptown. We're having a convention in Laughlin, Nevada. That was not the way Bill and Bob started out. And the other thing is the fact that we have books and we have literature and we have all this stuff. And we got so many words for the same thing. You know, we've so diluted alcoholism in some scenarios that people don't even know they have it. You know? It's like, oh, you may have a little bit of it, but here's what you really got, you know? It's kind of like that deal in World War I, there was a thing called shell shock. Shell shock. Everybody knew what shell shock was. Well, he's a little shell shock. Fred's a little shell shock. A little too much combat, and every time he hears something, he kind of goes like that. Well, by World War II, they had made it battle fatigue. You know, we had battle fatigue. And then in Korea, we had combat exhaustion. Okay? And by Vietnam, we had delayed stress syndrome. No, those guys were shell-shocked, you know. We got so far away from it, they didn't even know what the hell they had. And that's the way it is today in some scenarios of alcoholism. It's that people have so diluted what Alcoholics Anonymous is that you lose track of it. And what Alcoholics Anonymous is about is what's in this book. You know, Bill and the boys knew what was going on. They wrote about it. And they did it in such a way that, you know, even if you're unscarred by education, like, let's just say out of the curiosity of your heart, you wanted to learn how it works. Where the hell do you think you'd find that in this book? Oh, look at that, how it works. You know? You know, this is the owner's manual, and most people say, yeah, I know that, but I'm dealing with several other things right now. You know, if you're going to deal with alcoholism, you got to have the right weapon. It's kind of like going into a bank and trying to rob it with a pistol. A pistol's the wrong tool to rob a bank. Nobody should use a pistol to rob a bank. You have to have good crowd control skills, a great vocabulary, and good management of how people should act. It's the wrong tool. But you go in there and go, shh, shh, everybody knows why you're there. You know, you could be illiterate, and you go, shh, we know why you're here. Give them the money, you know. And the tool we have here is the 12 steps. You got them hanging up here in the 12 traditions. Those are the tools that are if you're suffering from alcoholism. And the deal is I love alcoholics because they are so oblivious. Yeah. That's OB with a validivious. You know? I can spell it faster, but I don't like it. But that's the way it is, you know. You know, They just don't know how to think in the moment. Everything is about the future. This book talks about fear. And it says, we're driven by 100 forms of fear. When I first got here, I thought that was an overstatement. Now that I've been here a while, it's an understatement. There's a lot more fear. But the fear that most alcoholics are worried about isn't the paralyzing fear, isn't the abnormal fear. That stuff is all, like, can be addressed. What we're worried about is phantom fear. What is phantom fear? Well, phantom fear, very simply, is absolutely nothing is threatening you, and you're scared to death. Well, something could happen. Just because I don't have a name for it, it's like, out there, you know, and at any moment it could be here. And what is it? I don't know. But it's there. How do you know? I feel it. I call that milking a mouse, you know. You know, a lot of activity, but very little milk, you know. You know. That's the way we are. I mean, we're so busy concentrating on stuff we can't control. And, you know, for years I came here and they used to say, we have a spiritual malady. I didn't know quite what that was. I can tell you from my experience, and that's what I'm talking about, my experience, I now know what that spiritual malady is. That spiritual malady is trying to live someplace other than right this moment. And when I try to live someplace other than right this moment, I'm separated from God,
which is the source of all my strength. It says so in this book. It says, I'll quote it, and I'm unscarred by education. It says, there is one, uno, who has all power. That one is God. May you find him Thursday. You know? Yeah. And that's the whole deal. May you find him now. When you look at the word now and you spell it backwards, it's one. W-O-N. When you learn to live in the now, you've won. In actuality, it's the only place we can live. And that's why we feel separation from God. Because God is always in the moment. I mean, I watch people go through hoops that are unbelievable. You know, alcoholics spend a good part of their day like housekeeping in a dream. You know, it's a... I'm busy doing what? I don't know, but I can't slow down right now. I'm falling behind on things I don't even know, you know. But I know they're important. You know. Alcoholics are trying to escape from a reality they're not in. You know. Come on. They spend 80% of the day scratching shit that don't itch. You know? And the other 20% being afraid, you know? Ease up, you know? First of all, you were sent out from the home office perfect, just like me. We were sent out perfect. The only thing is we get caught up in trying to be what we're not. And in trying to be what we're not, we can't be that. Does that make any sense? It does to me. I watch people running around. It's like they're trying to circle one wagon. You know? Going faster just doesn't do it. You know, like it's a... No matter how fast you go, you have one wagon. You're just not going to be able to do much more than this. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're a rose and you want to be a daffodil, you're in for a really long day. You know, like it's a really long day because you can only be what you are. You know, the old timers used to say, be what you is and not what you ain't. Because if you is what you ain't what you is. Even a guy unscarred by education could follow that logic. You know? It's the simplicity of this. And that's what happens. We try to complicate that which is so simple. If the alcoholic doesn't drink, he tends to act much like other men. Therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic is in his what? It's in his mind. You got this, whoo, whoo, you know? You know, your little tinderbox up here is on fire, you know. Just sit it down, you know. I'm amazed when I go to meetings, and it doesn't happen all the times, but people say, my mind wakes me up in the morning. And it tells me what to do. And it controls my whole day. Well, my mind doesn't do that because it's my mind. You are its body. <You know? laughs> There's a big difference. You wouldn't take that shit from your hand, you know? You'd say, hey, all right. Because it's your hand, you know? I mean, to tell you. And the deal is that I love to do these things, and I've said this over the years, because I love to hear people laugh. Because I know when you're laughing, you're getting a respite from you. You cannot laugh and think at the same time. That's why God has given man the only animal in the animal kingdom that has the ability to laugh. You know, rhinoceroses are not like this. when a rhinoceros is born, it's already reached the quintessence of rhinocerosity. It can't be any more rhinoceros. But when we're born, we're just put on the path. And the deal is to just relax and realize that everything is okay regardless of what this is telling you. You know, it's like going to a horse race. Karen mentioned enjoying the horse races. And, you know, I always thought that the races are just like alcoholics. You know, they put them in slots and then they open the gates. If every horse were to sit down, it would be right where it's going to be when it runs the whole track. It would be a photo finish without one horse leaving the gate. Well, who won? I think it was the guy next to me. His nose is out. And that's the way it is. There's nothing to do. And that's why God gave us this wonderful world to do it in. It's supposed to be a lot of fun. You know, when you get up in the morning, go screw something up. Don't lose your skills. You know, don't. We're counting on you screwing things up. You know? All you have to do is, if you think it's serious, pick up a newspaper and just look at it and go, this is the best we can do. You know? And the deal is that right now, while we're sitting here in Laughlin, I have a friend who I sponsor in San Diego, and he's getting ready to leave Tuesday to go to Iran. And in Iran right now, they're having a surge of AA. You know, they now have women sitting in mosque next to men where they can't go to pray to AA meetings. The Khomeini is hanging there on a banner. He's probably going, I didn't look at it this way, you know. Can you imagine a banner of Khomeini with Bill and Bob on either side? I mean, you know, like, I don't think that's the way he planned it. But the deal is that's the way the world is going. There's so much stuff going on, and all we get is a tinkling of the negative stuff. And we tend to think that's the deal. And, you know, if you're in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting tonight like we are, we're already winners. You know, if you're an alcoholic at a meeting, it's like you were born on third and you think you hit a triple. You know? Yeah, what'd you do? I'm here, you know. And did you ever notice the folks who have the most trouble with Alcoholics Anonymous? They do drive-bys, you know. They're not members of anything. They don't do any work at all. They just show up. I'm here. Give it to me. You know? And you look at them and you feel like, oh, you know? You know? I'm very lucky because, and I don't say this to offend anyone, but I never used a drug. I didn't even smoke a marijuana cigarette in my whole life. Now, I understand where everybody's coming from today, so don't get excited. Is he saying we don't belong? No, I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying I never did. And there was a very good reason for it. I grew up in an area of Brooklyn that was controlled by the mafia, if there was a mafia. And the mafia, if there was one, had a rule that said if you deal or use, that's not a good. You know? So the first time they found out you were dealing or using, they would open a car door, put your hand in it, and close it. You'd be surprised how many addicts just get out of that stuff like that. You know? You know? And I don't need the meetings. I just need these fingers, you know? And then if you do it a second time and they find out, we always thought you moved to Jersey. Hey, what happened to Vinny? I think he moved over to Jersey. Know what I mean? Yeah. Somehow they figured out that dead people are not active addicts. And the end result of that is we just didn't have it. But I understand how that goes on today. But you know, if you're coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, I would suggest one thing to you very strongly, and that is just do one program. I mean, you can incorporate that other stuff, but don't be running around trying to do 10 things at once. If alcohol is the problem, deal with alcohol. And keep it simple for yourself. You know, don't try to complicate it. As I said, alcoholics are very, very, very funny people. We suffer from, you know what deja vu is? Well, we suffer from vujade. It never happened, and we know it never happened, but we're going to talk about it anyway. You know? We're good at that. The things we remember most vividly never happened, you know? You know? So what do you remember? Oh, I remember that very vividly. You know, you weren't even there. You weren't even born, you know, in some cases. I'm a Vietnam veteran. How old are you? 18. It was real tough in the jungles, you know. And that's just the way we are. But I'll tell you, being sober is where it's at for me today. Because what I've come to find out is it doesn't matter what's happening out here as long as I'm okay in here. I have figured this out from my experience that the only thing I can lose are things I don't own in the first place. You know, if I really own it, I can't lose it. I can only lose what I don't own. And God has been so very good to me. You know, someone had mentioned last year me moving away and moving over to New Mexico, and I gave away all the stuff I owned and cleaned out some storage areas and got everything down to about 6 boxes. And people in my family said, you know, things like, have you lost your mind? And I thanked them for the compliment, you know. And I said, not yet, but I'm really working on it, you know. And I went on over there, and I got to hang out with the Navajo. And, you know, they got their own deal going on. They got a lot of stuff happening. And what came of all of that, somebody said, why did you do that? I did that because at that time, it seemed like the right thing to do. And that's all I have to say about it. You know, I don't try to explain every action that I take anymore because I'd be spending my time explaining and you wouldn't be understanding anyway. And in most cases, the only reason I did it was because that's what I thought I should do. And I don't spend a lot of time getting ready for stuff, you know. My motto for life is leap before you look, you know. Don't waste the time looking. By the time you look, you could have tried it a half a dozen times. You know, everybody wants to look good, and therefore they become nouns in life. Don't be a noun. Be a verb. You know, go screw something up. Make us proud. You know, like, you know, go do something. Like, hey, look what Louis did. Hey, you know, and people are worried about making mistakes. How can you make a mistake if you're doing what you think is right? You know, back east they have the Hudson River is so contaminated that someday a 500-pound halibut with one eye on the top of its head and two eyes on its cheeks is going to come out of the water and say, I want to see somebody from Dow Chemical right now. You know, and the deal is, why are you worried about making a mistake? You don't have that much influence. You know? The little mistakes that you make would go totally unrecognized. Oh, that's I guess, the best effort, you know? And the deal is that just relax and enjoy it. You know, I have a scenario in my life where I tell a story where, and that's why I don't spend a whole lot of time about the way it used to be, because it's not that way anymore. If there's one word that has become very instilled in my heart over the last 10 years, it's the word impermanence. I know that nothing stays permanent. You know, if you have somebody in your life today, you have to be willing to accept 3 things. Number one is that person's either going to die, change, or leave. And if you can't accept that, you might as well live in a cave because that's the way it is. You know, and the other thing is that don't worry about the future. There is no future. I've been on this planet now for a while. I've never met anybody who lived 1 second in the future. If you know anyone, come see me after the meeting. You know, I would like to know, because the best I can do is when it's now, it's now. We could, like, wait 5 minutes for the future. But when we get there, it's going to be now. So don't worry about it, you know. Don't spend your whole life in anticipation and memory. You know, you can only do what you need to do right now. So get on and do it, you know. And don't worry about the results so much. Just do the actions. For the longest time, I had a discomfort, and I didn't know where that discomfort was coming from. And I realized what it was several years ago. And that was, I was seeking things. I was seeking things. Oh, what are you? I'm seeking this. I was seeking that. And the end result was, the seeking became an activity out there, and I was giving up my right nows for something that wasn't going to happen because it didn't exist in the first place. And the end result of that was, time was going by, and the only thing I was using it for was a stepping stone to get to the next moment, which was going to be as much now as the now I was in. You know what I mean? Now we're getting down to it. Now, this is why I really came here tonight. Now we can talk, you know. And the deal was, is I began to see with clarity things I couldn't see before. Things like, you know, if you can't do anything about it, you can't do anything about it. Wow! Talk about turning your fruit of the loom right around. You know, like that's a deal, you know. This is the deal, you know. And why is it the deal? Because you just hopefully get to see that everything you thought you had to do to get to this imaginary place was going to be done right now at the best of it. And you began to realize that a lot of the stuff that Bill snuck into this book is just about that. Bill talks about that. When he talks about God, what does he say? I want a spirit of the universe that is not limited by time and limitation. He understood that time is a limitation. And the reason it's a limitation is because it doesn't exist in the first place. But you get on a plane and they say, turn your watch ahead 17 days. You know, turn it back 8 days. Turn the clocks ahead 6 hours. Turn them back. What are we talking about? It just isn't happening, you know? And you have to remember that when you're talking to a newcomer about this stuff, he's looking at that with that, you know, windmill. You know? The wheel is just... I mean, alcoholics, you know, we have the kind of minds that, you know, like the alcoholics wanted to organize a carpool, so they decided to meet at work. You know? That's the kind of thing you're dealing with here, you know? We just don't know how to be in the moment, you know? It's like the alcoholic who met a woman in Vegas and he said, I want to go to bed with you. And she said, no way. And he said, I'll give you $10,000. And she said, $10,000? And within a few minutes they were up on a bed nude and she said, kiss me on the lips. And he did. And he said, I don't know. And she said, well then, kiss me on the neck. And he did. And he said, I don't know. And finally she said, kiss me on the breast. And he did. And he said, I don't know. And she said, what don't you know? He said, I don't know where I'm going to get the 10 grand. You know, and See? And that's the way we are. We're right in the middle of a good thing. And we're projecting catastrophe. You know, like, that's just the way we are. And you would think after you did it 600, 700, 800 times, it would begin to have some impact. But it doesn't. It's like lining up to do it again. You know? So when your mind starts to tell you all this stuff, just tell it to mind its own business. Say, you know, I hear people talk about the committee and I mean, let's face it. There isn't that much activity, really, in most of our brains. You know? I mean, if you think there are 6 or 7 other people that could live off the little bit of gray matter that you're carrying around, then you need some ego classes, you know, like, it's a, you know, by committee, like, you know, you're a CEO. Yeah, at Enron, you know. I mean, what a deal. And so I love this little book because when Bill talks about, you know, this is standing in front of Winchester Cathedral, that was his whole deal. At meetings now, even at conventions, whoever's starting the deal off has to say what? Turn off your cell phones, your pagers, your fax machines, you know, the person next to you, you know. You know, it's like, you know, and Bill talked about that because he said he stood in front of that Winchester Cathedral and what happened to him. He had a moment of clarity there and he felt the presence of God. And he said that presence was soon overrun by worldly clamors, most of which came from within me. And if that was true for Bill back then, imagine how many worldly clamors we have going on today. We live in a very techno-barbaric world. You know, it takes up a lot of time. You know, I have guys that spend 8 hours on a computer but can't come to a meeting. You know, why? Well, I'm learning. Which, you know, is a lie in the first place, you know. And the deal is that you say to yourself, what is this really about? And it tells you what it's about in here. Our primary purpose is to be sober and to help those people about us. How can you help those people about you if you're already committed out to a bunch of nonsense? We only have so much energy. The whole 11th step just talks about energy. When we stop using this up, we start to find out we have a lot of energy. We only have so much spiritual energy. And you don't want to have it dissipate on a bunch of crap. You know, you want to put it into something good. And everything in the book, even in 12 and 12, it talks about at the completion of the 12th step, what happens? We find we have this great energy. Why do we have this energy? Because we're living in the now with the power of God, which is all present in this moment. And we get to share in that power. But the minute we start projecting all over the place and we start acting like ping pong balls, the next thing you know is it all goes to hell in the handbasket. You know, and you hear people say things like, I'm trying to figure it out. You've never been able to figure it out in your life. So why do you think you're going to get this sudden awareness, you know? Just do the deal. And once you stop seeking, that doesn't mean you stop doing. It just means you do the action without trying to do what? The result. Worry about the result. Every spiritual program, thank God AA is that, every spiritual program is made up of 4 steps. 4 basic steps. Show up. Pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the results. And if you show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and you're not attached to the results, then good things happen. You know, good things happen. It's when you start to do all this other nonsense. I mean, there's a dance tonight. Now, just think of right now, if you're a guy, who you're going to see at that dance? Don't go that far that quick. Just, you know, it's like a 13-step dance. Yeah. maybe I'll meet Miss Wright. Or Miss Wright now. Or, you know. Or maybe even just Miss Perhaps. I don't know, you know. But the deal is that your mind can get going and do all kinds of things. But you can't do anything about it while you're doing what? Sitting here. To get to the dance, you have to go to the dance. This is heavy stuff. And then when you get to the dance, if you want to meet someone to dance with, then you have to meet someone to dance with. Overwhelming. And you have people sitting here going, I think I could do that. Yeah. You will do it. You're the little engine. I think I can. And you will do that. But the thing is just do what's in the moment right now. You know, and then I have to deal with people, and I'm sure you do too, who say things like, Ken, if I continue to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him, I'm going to become like what? The hole in the donut. Watch my lips, because I may not say anything more important than this. We are the hole in the donut. We are the hole in the donut. And thank God we are, because donuts come and go, but the hole is always there. And just like lack of power is your dilemma, lack of dilemma can be your power. You know? You don't have to be scratching stuff all the time. You know? There's a little thing, it's in another book, and it says, be still and know that I am God. And being still for an alcoholic is a death-defying act. You know? I want to make sure I understand this. You mean like, just be still. Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Yes, be still. So like, don't have the TV on, no radio, no CD, no cell phone. So just be still. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Well, just how the hell you think I'm going to do that? You know? I mean, I got a legal pad full of stuff to get done. How can I just be still? Well, go ahead and do it. But be still. And you know, we just don't have that concept. We just don't have that concept. Because if we're still, my experience has been, you get to hear the Master. You get to hear the Master when you're still. There's a mystic prayer that goes, you cannot catch hold of it, nor can you let go of it. When you are speaking, it is silent. And when you are silent, it speaks. And in order to hear that, you have to allow time for that. I don't care what you think your day should consist of. If you're not allowing time for God to tell you what He has in store for you, you're missing out on the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, because it's a spiritual program. And if you look at the word spiritual, inside the word spiritual is the word ritual. R-I-T-U-A-L. And in order to become spiritual, you have to develop some ritual. And some of that ritual is you have to allocate time where you do absolutely nothing in industrial amounts. Be still. And when that happens, you get to hear whatever it is you need to hear. You know, there's a sixth step that we use. And when you read it in the 12 and 12, it goes to great lengths to say this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And what separates the men from the boys or the gals from the women? It's the same thing, and that's this. That after you're here in Alcoholics Anonymous, you can get very complacent and not do anything bad. Not do anything bad. You're not drinking. You're going to meetings. You're doing all the general stuff, all the facade, all the confetti. You're doing that. But at the same time, you're not allowing time to grow spiritually. And so what happens is you have a moment, as the book says, where your entire sobriety, right this moment, hinges on the spiritual shape that you are in, and you haven't been doing anything in that area. It's very much like going to Family Fitness and walking around and watching the other folks work out. And then leaving and getting in your car saying, yeah, it wasn't so bad. You know? I think I'll go back again next week. And wondering why they're tapering into these other people and you, for some reason, are not. And the reason you're not is you're too busy. Stop it. Stop it. Don't use this moment just to get to the next moment. Because eventually you'll reach a point where you're running out of moments. And if you want to enjoy life, you have to get into giving something. You know, somebody said to me recently about, in my case, I was retired and the company that was paying me my retirement went bankrupt. I had a son who died. I had a brother and sister who died a week apart, one Christmas Day, one New Year's Day, from this disease, I might add. I had a mom who died because she just didn't think her kids should die. I had the same stuff that anybody else in life gets, and it's no worse or no better. And all I can tell you today is that every bit of it served a purpose to get me here to Laughlin on May the 17th of 2003 at this exact moment, 5 after 9. Everything. Every single thing. And if it didn't, I wouldn't be your speaker tonight. You'd have somebody else. Because I would have found something worthwhile away from doing what I know God wants me to do. You know, it's not by accident that you get to do what you get to do. This is heavy. I hope the newcomer, the guy with the year, I'm not worried about you. But the guys with 30 days, I have some little concern. This might be just kind of zipping by them. But don't worry about it. You'll pick this shit up at 40 days. It won't even bother you. And by the time they give you that token at 90 days, you'll be up here, you know? But this is a great book, but it's nothing more than a book. It might as well be a door jam unless what's inside here gets inside here. If what's in here doesn't get in here, then you're just spinning your wheels. You're walking around Family Fitness looking at the equipment. Saying, someday, I think I'll get really into this. And knowing full well, that day will never come because you're just not going to do it. So get doing it now. And not be worried about all the things that you think have to get done. Because you know what? If you were to conk out tonight, they either would or they wouldn't. It's like, we're not counting on you to do a whole lot. Really, not anything. And we know full well you won't let us down. You know? But what you can do is go work with somebody else. Go carry the message. And what is the message? The message is not what happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whether it was good or bad or terrible or whatever. what's happening today, Saturday, the 17th? What are you doing today, the 17th? You know, we had that great meal tonight, and the deal is you say, where else could a bunch of slobs, like most of us were, come to a nice place, have a bed with sheets on it, you know, be able to come and go as we please, you know, not have to ask permission to use the urinal, you know, and can actually fall asleep while Bubba's awake. You know, like, the thing is, we have the best of it. We have the very best of it. And the nice part about it is that it's like that because we're doing the very basic things we need to do. You know, if someone is telling you a lot about what they're doing, chances are they're not doing a whole lot. The people who are doing it have no time to stop and discuss it. They're too busy doing it. And if it's of any value to you, I can tell you that AA is divided into two groups. Those that do the work and those that take the credit. You know? Get in the first group. There's a lot less competition. You know? Now, I know there's a 13-step dance, so I won't keep you. I know you have money in your pocket that the establishment is waiting for. And it's like, yeah, we love having those alcoholics here. They're really good with numbers. Once they get past their sobriety date, they're a little tired, you know. But the deal is that this is about having fun. And if you're not having fun, you have no one to blame but you, you know. You have absolutely no one to blame but you. This is supposed to be a good time. This is the best time of our lives because it's the now time. You know, I've never did May the 17th, 2003. So far, it's been a really good one, you know. I didn't wet my pants. You know, well, maybe a little. But, I've been drinking so much water and coffee, I hear my mother in the back of my head saying, you should have thought of that before you left the house, you know. But I don't know about you guys, but when I was drinking, I had all of those issues, you know. I used to have, you know, codependency issues, if you need those, you know. I used to say, is my fly open? And they'd say, no, why? I said, well, it should be. I'm peeing, you know. This is serious, isn't it? I hope tonight you didn't hear anything that improved you educationally. Because I've done my best not to do that. But at the same time, I hope you heard the subtlety of what I'm trying to say. And I say it not only for you to hear, but I say it as a constant reminder for me to hear. It's real easy to stay seated and not get moving. There's a law of physics that says an alcoholic at rest tends to stay at rest. But an alcoholic in motion tends to stay in motion. And we're just talking about getting up and getting into motion and not trying to figure anything out. You know, there's a lot of folks who can come up and can tell you stories that would make you cry because of horrendous things that have happened to them. But I can tell you this from the depths of my experience, and that is everything that happens to you has to happen to you so that you can become the person you need to become. And in order to become that person, you have to know what adversity is as well as success. You have to know, okay, I'm experiencing this now and it's a really good thing by my definition. But I know it's predicated on impermanence. And the only permanence there is for me is God. Everything else I touch is going to be based on impermanence. And that's why when it talks about relationships, it says, see to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. The great fact for this alcoholic is, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous from a background that was not much different than other Catholic Irish people who lived in the city. We drank too much. We drank often. We drank volumes. You know, I think if you're born into an Irish Catholic family, and I think it's just the way it is, they might as well give you a big book. Because, you know, when they baptize you, they give you the book, and, you know, even if you don't need it, you'll meet a lot of people who will, you know. In my family, we're divided into two groups. Either you're in AA or you need it. You know, there's absolutely no difference. And the thing is, learn to let go of those things that you need to let go of. The book talks about, it says, pain is the touchstone of all spiritual growth. And that's true as far as it goes. It just doesn't go far enough. Because pain in and of itself is going to accomplish nothing for you spiritually. What's going to accomplish something for you spiritually is surrender. When you get enough pain and you surrender, then you feel the spiritual growth. Because you realize that in this world, things are going to come and they're going to go. And I have no control over most of it. And once I accept the fact I have no control over it, I can get to live in this moment. And I can do whatever I need to do right here, knowing full well that it's okay. Regardless of what my head is telling me, it's always okay. I don't need to have a whole lot of things going on. I don't need material wealth. I don't need a lot of things. What I need is that peace, which this world can neither give nor take away. And I get that by doing the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I did the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, those steps evicted me from my hiding places. It would not allow me to be who I was. And in not allowing me to be who I was, it opened the door for who I could be. And I'm here tonight to carry that message, hopefully, to you. That this is a lot of fun. It's a lot of laughs. I look around the audience here tonight, and there's at least 40, 50 people who I know on a first name basis and a last name basis. They mean a whole lot to me. I love them. I see them very rarely, unfortunately, but I love them. And I love them because they love me, and they have shown that. You know, I had a son who died, and my ex-wife and my husband-in-law, decided that we should have a service for him, even though, you know, that was not a big thing in his life. But in order to accommodate everybody, we decided to have this service. He died on the 7th of September, right after Labor Day. And so it was a holiday, and then he died. And then by the time we put this thing together to have it at the church, it was a Friday morning. It was only a day, basically, to put it together. And my family, none of my immediate family was available. None. Zero. And my ex-mother-in-law and my ex-sister-in-law were there. And, of course, my son was there, my other son. And I thought, well, that's it. We'll just have those people. And there's a church, St. Martin's, in a little town where I live. And when I arrived at that church was packed. And it was packed with alcoholics. There were over 600 people at that church. That's really my family. The alcoholic family. And I'm very proud to belong to that family. And there are times, I'm sure, where I could do more myself. And I try to remind myself of that as often as I can. And I'm sure you have those days where you wish you were doing more. But the nice thing about being sober one day at a time is that If we do this Saturday, the 17th, to the best of our ability, and should God spare us, we'll wake up on the 18th and we'll be sober and able to do all those things that we didn't get done yesterday that really are important. And there's nothing to figure out. Absolutely nothing. I want to thank you guys for letting me come here tonight. We got to take really good care of one another because we're only on loan. God bless you.